Hey, we're in a series of lessons called Altars. This is our sixth week. We might go one more week. We'll see how far we get today. We've already been a little bit extended. It's 10:55. We'll be done by 1:55. Does that sound good for everybody? Come on, you can get home for Sunday night football. Let's go, everybody. Baseball tonight. We'll let you go home for baseball. First a couple of tacos and then baseball. We're in a series of lessons called Altars. We've said several things already in the past. We've said, number one, the altar of God, the fire of God wants to fall on the altar of your heart. The fire of God needs to fall on the altar of your heart. The genesis again of this message and this series is from revivals that have happened in years gone by in the Hebrides and Scotland and Wales. And that part of the world where people were tired of what was going on in church. There's nothing happening in church. All church is just three or four old white-haired, you know, ladies, and the church is dying. Nothing wrong with old white-haired ladies, but we need some young people with brown hair and black hair and blonde hair, and we need families. And I'm so grateful for a church that we've got all races, all ethnicities, and all generations. Come on, somebody clap your hands right there. Come on, we all not young, we're all not old, we all everybody. So come on, keep bringing your friends and who you run with and who you hang with and bring your enemy to church and get them born again, amen? Get them serving Jesus and get your friends and get your crazy relatives and your cousins, get them in church and let God touch their hearts. So we said what they found out years later when they found out after 4 years of revival in city after city, when they opened up their heart to God and began praying to God, revival broke out and people began crying out to God. And again, they found out from a guy named Duncan Campbell, who was the evangelist for those 4 years, well, what happened? How did this thing happen? And he said, well, we really kind of noticed these four things that were going on, how God worked in people, worked in homes, worked in churches, worked in cities, where the fire of God, they said, would fall on the altar of the heart, the altar of the heart. That's you individually. And there's a great scripture that we pray regularly that we've talked to you about before, but from Psalms chapter 5, verse 3, and it says this in the Passion Translation. The David writes this, that each and every sunrise, you're going to hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Each and every sunrise. Each and every sunrise. It's not a Sunday thing. I'm not praying and worshiping you on a Sunday thing. It's going to be a Monday thing, a Thursday thing, a Friday thing. It's going to be an everyday thing. At each and every sunrise, you're going to hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice for you. Every morning, God, I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and I wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. This is your job every single day. Every single day, you have time where you wait before the Lord. You have time where the scriptures are open. You have time that your heart is directed towards God. You have time every single day that you put wood on the fire of your heart and let the wood of the word of God burn deeper and deeper in you. Firing you desires and wills and purpose, burning things out of your life that don't belong there, and refiring the will of God and the plan of God for the next generation, for the next season of your life. We found out when there's an individual, a person, a woman, a teenager, a young person that has fire work in their life. Then if you're married, then God wants to have your home on fire. God wants you to raise your spouses desiring God, not always in conflict. Come on, there's going to be some conflict, but you're working through conflict with the love of God because the fire of God is more important than my own agenda, than my own will, than my own purpose. I want our marriage to represent how you love us, Lord God. I want that to be so. So I need you in my home. And children, again, as we prayed and we talked about a moment ago from Malachi chapter 4, hearts of the fathers toward their children, children's hearts toward their father, where there's community, there's consideration, there's love in the home, the fire of God falling on the altar of the home. And last week we talked about, and for 2 weeks we talked about the altar of God on the church, that God wants our church to be a church where the fire of God is, where the presence of God is, where the life of God is, where the joy of God is, where the peace of God is. Come on, where the purpose of God is, where the plan of God is, that we can come in here and we just kind of get swept up into God's goodness. Come on, everybody. God's graciousness, his kindness. Come on, everybody. His generosity. And it just starts changing us all. And someone said this, that if you hang around the bank of a creek long enough, you're going to wind up slipping in. And so if you just get around some folks that are full of God and full of life and full of vision and full of hope and full of the Spirit of God, you're just going to get close enough and you're going to slip right in there too. So get distance yourself from, can I say it this way? Distance yourself from a lot of fools. distance yourself from a lot of foolishness, and you'll find yourself being swayed to the things of God more and more, and the Word of God, and the will of God, and the plan of God, and the purpose of God. And maybe that's a word for somebody in the room. You just need to have a dividing line between hanging out with a bunch of stupid people. Come on, anybody just like, I need the stupids out of my life. I felt the Lord with that right there. So here's our scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. What's God want to do in the church? To him be glory in the church. What's he want? He wants glory. He wants his presence. He wants his power. He wants his glory. He wants his weight in the church. That's you and me by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Never going to change. This is what God wants for eternity, past, eternity, future, until he comes again and sets up his eternal kingdom on the earth. There's a new heavens and there's a new earth. God wants glory. God wants his weight in your life. God wants his weight in your home. God wants his weight in the church, in his church. Today, let's talk about this, the altar of the city. If we're ever going to see God do anything in the city, he's going to first have to do it in a heart. He's going to have to do it in a home. And he's going to have to do it in the church. Because God won't work in a city unless there's a church, unless there's a home, unless there's a heart that's desiring him. We know this scripture, John 3:16, Billy Graham made it great. For God so loved the world. Come on, let's read it out loud. Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What we know from this scripture that God loves every person. He loves every person in every city, in every state, in every nation, and in every culture. This is what God does. This is who God loves. God loves every single person. There's a story, it's a four-chapter story in the Old Testament. It's all centered around one man named Jonah the prophet. God gave Jonah a word, and Jonah didn't like the word, and God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city, God said, and cry out against it. And Jonah said, I really don't want to go. We can read between the lines because the Assyrians are there, and the Assyrians are in constant conflict with Israel. And anybody that goes there, in fact, one theologian has done some research and found out in one of the books that I read years ago was that any prophet that went to Nineveh, they would actually fillet them alive and put them on posts outside the city. How many know if you heard the word to go to Nineveh, you might say, I think I like San Isidro. How about that place? Jonah didn't want to go. One reason Jonah didn't want to go, I think, you know, we don't read it quite up at the front until we read it at the end of the chapter, four chapters, is that Jonah didn't want to go and preach repentance to the city because he hated them and he knew everybody around him hated him, but he knew that God was good to all kind of people. So Jonah knew that if he went, God would do something great for those people, and Jonah didn't want God to do anything great for those people. And so what's Jonah do? Jonah goes to the boat. He pays his fare. He goes on a boat to go to Tarshish. And when he's out there with the sailors, the storm comes up that we know God made a storm come into his life. And then the sailors go, this is crazy. And they start pulling out all their idols. And what's going on? No help. And finally they come to Jonah and say, did you do something wrong? And he said, man, I'm running from God. And they said, you idiot. And so he said, just throw me overboard. And they said, we're not going to throw you overboard. And they kept, you know, rowing a little bit further, and they finally went, we're going to throw you overboard. And so they threw him overboard. Come on, everybody. That's what happened. They threw him overboard, but they threw him overboard, and the Bible said God prepared a great fish. Come on, everybody. Somebody look as the fish is judgment, but the fish was actually deliverance. So you might think God's judging you because of what you're going through, but listen, you don't know how bad it could have been. Can I get an amen up in the room? And so the fish actually swallows Jonah. He's 3 days in the fish. Jonah gets his heart right in the fish. It's easy to get your heart right in jail. It's easy to get your heart right when all hell's breaking loose in your life. And the Bible says that fish then spit him out at Nineveh. And he went to Nineveh and he preached an 8-word sermon. That's all he said. Here's what he said. Yet 40 days and Nineveh's going to be overthrown. And the Bible says everybody from the king to the lowest, began fasting and praying with sackcloth and ashes. And God turned from destroying them. So here's what we find out. about God in cities, about the altar of our city concerning this, is that Jonah was mad because God was good, so good to a city that was really just so bad. And this is what happens in our life, that we think that God can't do anything with wherever we're at or that nation or that people group because they're so anti-God or anti-Christ or whoever your people group is, be it a certain race, a certain ethnicity coming against Israel right now, if it's the Iranians or if it's Hezbollah and if it's Hamas, and I'm all down. Those are some wicked, wicked folks. But you know what I know? I know God's great and he can change hearts. And so why I want God to wipe out the evil person, I want God to spare the good person. And only God knows that heart. Only God knows the person that can turn. Not you and not me. And so here's what God said to Jonah at the end, at the conclusion of all, why he did what he did. And I've added some words from some different translations so it makes this easy to see. Jonah 4, verse 11. Here's what God told Jonah. Should I not care about, have pity on, and spare, and be concerned about? Should I not have compassion for and love that great city? That great city. God loves our city. We need to love our city. And the way we love our city is by first praying for our city. Someone said that prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but it's taking hold of God's willingness. We're not trying to conquer God from praying so that God will actually make him do something. No, God really loves all kind of people and he wants to move. But we need to keep taking hold of God's willingness to change us so that we see, we hear, we have a heart that responds to his love for all kinds of people, specifically his love for cities, states, nations, and the world. We've come back during prayer on Monday nights many, many times to this scripture, portion of scripture in Ezekiel chapter 47. So I want to draw your attention to that. Ezekiel's a prophet. He's a major prophet. There's wickedness in the nation with him and Isaiah. Isaiah's prophesied all kinds of things. The people keep turning back towards not following God. And Ezekiel would see visions and see dreams. And he's wrote some amazing things. It'd be worthwhile for you to read. But in chapter 47, verse 1, starting there, we'll read several verses here. Follow along. He says this, then he, Ezekiel speaking, he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water. Everybody say there was water. Water. There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple. I saw water flowing under the threshold of the temple. From the door, and went toward the east, the front of the temple, faced east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out, verse 2, by way of the north gate, and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. A stream. Ezekiel sees this vision of a temple, and he says, this is a little different. There's water flowing, and it started at the altar, and it flowed, and it went out from under the threshold of the door, but it just didn't stay there. It was running out into the city. This is the plan for every church. I'll tell you this, this is the plan, this is my focus for our church. That our church, me, you, that the altar of our heart is on fire for God. Amen. That the altar of our families are being stirred to serve God, fire in our families. That we're a different kind of family. We're definitely not perfect, but we serve Jesus and we're a different kind of family. Come on, everybody. And the fire of God working in our church, stirring. Anybody that gets close, come on, just gets a little bit hotter. Come on, anybody ever been to church and you go to certain churches and you get colder? Yeah, we don't want that around here. We're gonna turn the heat up. Come on, everybody. In worship, in word, in prayer, come on. In relationship, turn the heat up a little bit. And the Bible says this, that again, we're finding out that this is the plan for a church. This is the plan for a church. That there's a water flow. There's a river flowing. I can't be complaining about the city because it's going to start up here in the church. With me and with you and with us and my family. And it's going to then come out into the city. A flow. This is the plan. This is the plan. So one more time, I probably said it many times, look on the screen, get the water flowing from the heart to the home, to the church, and to the city. The flow of water we know from Scripture is the Holy Spirit moving. The Holy Spirit activity, again, in a person, in a home, in a church, and then moving out into a community. Joel chapter 3, verse 18, just write that down for note. It says this, a fountain of God, the fountain shall flow from the house of God. The fountain, the life-giving life for a city, for a person, for a family, for a church. It'll flow from the house of God. The house of God is supposed to resource the city with life, with hope, with faith, with salvation, with deliverance, with healing. Where our city changes, the course of our city changes, but by just people praying and people blessing our city and loving our city and serving our city. And it doesn't mean just taking food to the poor. That's part of it. But it involves, number one, praying for our city, asking God to move in our city, change certain things in our city. Ezekiel 47:3. He goes on, when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me out to the through the waters. And the water came up to my ankles. Verse 4, and he measured again and 1,000 cubits and he brought me through those waters and the waters came up to my knees. And again, he measured another 1,000 cubits and the water then came up to my waist. Ankles, knees, waist, verse 5, and he measured 1,000 cubits more, and there was a river that I couldn't cross, and the water was too deep, and the water in which someone must swim to get through, a water that couldn't be crossed. What's the vision? What's it mean? There's an ever-increasing flow of God from the house of God to the city that starts out, that just seems like a trickle. And if you're not careful, you'll say nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. It doesn't look like much. It doesn't look like anything's happening. But it's just a trickle. Listen to me. But it'll come to your ankles. And it will come to your knees. And it will come to your waist. And it will become so much so that God's just everywhere, saturated in our city, where there's an awareness of God, where there's a consciousness, we prayed this morning, of God, where people just begin repenting of their sin. Come on, down at Tacos El Gordo. Come on, everybody. How many of you know that would be Jesus right there? That's why I go to Tacos El Gordo, just to wait for somebody to repent in Jesus' name. Come on. What he's talking about is overflow. Come on, say that word with me. Overflow. Come on, say it with me. Overflow. 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 God's life through the church, his spirit moving in an individual, in a home, in a church, moving to the city, continually increasing, not stopping, continually increasing until we could say, in our generation, the blood of our city, as Ezekiel says, is no longer on our hands. We have prayed, we have fasted, we have sowed seed, we have believed God that God and his will be done in our city. His kingdom come. Come on, everybody. His will be done on Chula Vista as it is in heaven. Come on, everybody. In La Mesa, in San Ysidro, in South San Diego. Come on, in San Diego, his kingdom come. His will be done. Come on, everybody, on earth, right here. As it is. Come on, everybody, as it is. There's a flow, there's a force. And listen to me, if you've ever been around water, again, Hurricane Helene, you know, when you start seeing the videos and the stuff, there might have been a little trickle, then all of a sudden there was a force that came. And they said in one of the regions there, they had 2 feet of rain that fell in 1 hour. 2 feet. That's overflow. That's overflow. And listen to me, this is what God wants. God wants hearts that are on fire. Hearts that are directed to him, hearts that are moving towards his purpose and plan, and on our families, and again we're getting things where we're opening the Bible with our kids, and we're praying with our spouses, and we're praying with our kids, and we're not just now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die when I awake, I pray the Lord my soul will take. No, we're not praying that foolishness. We're praying the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God. We're confessing scriptures over our kids and over our spouses, and we're letting God begin to work overflow in us. Come on, everybody. Overflow. Come on, overflow. Come on, my cup runs over. Come on, everybody. I want an overflow. Come on, everybody. I want an overflow. Come on. I want overflow. I know you do too. Verse 8 and 9. Check it out, Ezekiel. Come on, it gets better. Then he said to me, this water flows. Come on, say it flows. Toward the eastern region. It goes down into the valley. It goes down into the valley. It goes down into the worst part. It goes down to the most hopeless part of our city. The water flows down into the valley. And it enters into the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There'll be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed. And everything will live wherever the river goes. The river of God, the Spirit of God moving. In an individual, in a home, in a church, coming from the altar, flowing under the threshold, going out into the city, and it begins ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, overflow that you just see God everywhere. I see God everywhere. And it just doesn't go to the good people. It just doesn't go to the white people or the brown people or the black people. It just doesn't go to the rich people. It just doesn't go to the poor people. It just doesn't go to the renters or to those that have houses. It goes to everywhere, and the river flows into every valley, and it reaches and it enters into the sea. This river is salvation. This river is deliverance. This river is healing. This river is God's goodness. This river is God's grace. This river is God's mercy. This river is God's power. This river is God's miracles. This river is all of a sudden, as we prayed again, a consciousness of God. I need God. I need God. I was raised in church all my life. I'm a little boy. I walked up the aisles of a Baptist church at 8 years old and gave my heart to Jesus, and the deacon prayed for me. I surrendered my life at 8 to God. There was an awareness of sin and an 8-year-old boy in a Baptist church. And then I turned, I'm 8. I don't know what happened to me. I'm in church every day, but I'm a killer. Come on, I'm a renegade at 8. I'm living life. I'm doing whatever. And I, man, for the next 12 years, I'd go to church, but I'm away from God. But then, man, between my second and third year at university, came home all drugged up, messed up, drunk up. And in the middle of the night, I cried out to God in the middle of June, 1980. I got born again. My life changed. Listen to me. Nobody came to my door with a tract. Nobody witnessed to me. Nobody said, you know, Gary, you look like a little loser. You need Jesus. Nobody did that. But there's just an awareness of God. I need God. Now, my mom and my dad and some ladies were praying. And the water was flowing. And they didn't know when, but they'd pray every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning. And nothing changed between me and my other brothers. Nothing changed with their families, but all of a sudden, me and my brothers, we all got saved. We all got filled with the Spirit. The river was reaching everywhere. Come on, everybody. It was flowing down. It was flowing up. That's what God wants. It's what He wants to do. So what do we find? We find that fresh water from the temple or the church changed. Did you pick it up? Fresh water from the temple or the church changed the water in the sea. The salt water was changed. When the fresh water came from the church, it impacted the sea, and the waters of the sea were healed. Did you pick that up? The water from the altar under the threshold went out into the city. It went everywhere. It didn't just stay with all the great stuff happening. It went down into the valleys. It affected everywhere and went into the sea. And wherever the waters from the church, from the temple flowed, it brought healing. It brought healing. The river flowing from the church brought life to a dead city. Prayer in the church releases God's presence in the city. Prayer. I believe with all my heart. I'm all about let's legislate. Let's have laws. Laws are good. Laws are godly. But laws don't change hearts. God is the only one who can change hearts. And it's not either or, it's both and. We want strong legislation and we want strong prayer. Can I get an amen, everybody? A revivalist Charles Finney said this: if the presence of God is in the church will draw the world in. If the presence of God is not in the church, the world will draw the church out. We need the river of God. We need the life of God. We need the plan of God. We need the purpose of God flowing in the church of God, flowing in a believer, flowing, praying in a home, praying in the church, and then us affecting the city is then affected because of the prayers that we have prayed. He finishes the thought here in verse 12, Ezekiel 47, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, pay attention here, look at this, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month. Why? Because the water flows from the sanctuary. The water flowing from the sanctuary caused the city to be productive. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. No, notice their fruit will be for food. Their spiritual nourishment he's talking about. He's not talking about pomegranates and grapes and natural food. He's talking about spiritual. Where the river flows, there's going to be trees and their leaves are never going to end. There's going to be a constant source of life and strength and spiritual nourishment in our city where hearts are turned and they gravitate toward God. They gravitate toward the word of God. They leave darkness and they leave fear and they leave all the foolishness that's going on in the world. And then there's healing. The scripture says there's medicine. There's souls and the anxiousness and then the depression leaves. And all of a sudden there's healing. There's signs and wonders and miracles physically. A praying church, listen, is like a city on a hill. Listen to me, where people can see there's light there, there's hope there, they see Jesus. I need that in my life. I want that in my life. Where there's no light, listen to me, there is no light, there is no revelation, there is no awareness or desire for God apart from prayer. Prayer isn't a thing, prayer is the thing. It's the thing. Can we see this in the book? Can we see this in the Bible? Like, you know, this is like, it's a vision, you know, Pastor Gary, Ezekiel, you know. I don't know, man. He might have been a little bit kind of like one of those crazy prophets, you know. Is this really kind of a God vision kind of thing? Can we see anything like that in the Bible? Well, the book of Acts chapter 19 at Ephesus, we see this very same thing. Paul goes and he preaches at the book of Ephesus, and 12 guys give their heart to God. They don't understood about the baptism of John. They get right in their theology. They get rebaptized in Jesus' name, and all of a sudden they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in tongues. Paul goes there and teaches the word of God for 2 years, between, one translation says, between 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 3 o'clock every day. 5 hours of teaching the word of God for 2 years. There's saturation in the city of the word of God, the spirit of God, the plan of God, the water of God, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. It's everywhere. And the Bible says that there were signs, wonders, and miracles done. Handkerchiefs taken from Paul that people instantly got healed, so much so that the people said that they started turning away from worshiping their false goddess called Diana, and they began serving God. And the silversmith said, we can't have this. The union workers, pardon me, said, we can't have this anymore. We're going to go on riot. We're going to shut the ports down. We need to raise. Come on, everybody. That was in the news this past week. I just seen if you're paying attention. Come on, everybody. I'm not against union workers. I'm just messing with you a little bit. Just seeing if you're leaning in. But they said, man, they rioted because no one's going to buy idols anymore. Come on. This is going to affect our livelihood. These crazy people. Listen to me. 12 people gave their heart to God where the river flowed. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. 2 years of hearing the word of God, saturation, it affected the city of Ephesus. It says this in Ephesians chapter 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily, come on everybody, and prevailed. Come on, can you say amen? The entire city was shaken. The word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. How did it happen? People praying, people pressing, people asking God in their individually, in their homes, and in the church. Listen to me. Jesus goes to a city, Jerusalem, in Luke 19. It says he drew near to the city in Luke 19. And it says he saw the city and he wept over it. He wept over the city. I believe Jesus is still seeing cities and he's weeping over them. He's weeping. I've got people there, but my people aren't praying. I've got a church there, but it's a dead church. What they found out in this Welsh revival, in this revival in the Hebrides and Scotland and Wales and that part of the world, was that God would bypass. They pulled a map out, and they found city after city after city after city where God moved, and where people said in the church, "We're hungry for God. We don't want to stay the way we are. We want God. We want God in our life. We want God in our home. We want God in our church. We want God in our city." Began crying out. Lord, you said you'd pour water on him who's thirsty. You said you'd pour floods on the dry ground. That's us, Lord. Isaiah 44:3. That's us. We want you. We need you. Week after week, month after month, they'd pray until there was a water flow, ankle deep, and then knee deep, and waist deep, until it began affecting the church and the city all around them. And they said that there were cities that people said, we don't want that. We don't need that. And it's the river of God, the flow of God, the life of God would just bypass that city and go to the next city where there's hungry people saying, we want you. We want you. We want you. Listen to me. If we never pray for our city, we'll never really see our city. If you never pray, Lord, give me eyes to see what you see. Give me an ear to hear what you're hearing, the cry for our city. You've got a heart for our city. You've got a heart for our nation. You've got a heart for every people group. Listen to me. Let me just hopefully step on some of your toes a little bit. Again, we said that God, you can't legislate a heart. You can't legislate a heart, but you can pray. But God also works with rules and regulations and government. And thank God for good government. Listen to me. I don't know who you're voting for coming up, but you better vote for somebody that will uphold the law. You better. You better vote for righteous government. I'm not telling you voting independent. I'm not telling you voting Democrat. And I'm not going to tell you vote Republican. You better vote for somebody that will uphold the law. Somebody that will uphold righteousness. Come on, everybody. Somebody that will uphold morality. But you can't legislate a heart. So a guardrail definitely is we need godly law. And the other is we need a praying church. A praying church. Not either or. We need both and. And so concerning this very sensitive subject as I close today, when it comes to immigration and where our government has been with legal immigration, we all should be on the same page. That's godly. Illegal immigration is not godly. It's just not. It's just not. Now, here's the caveat. What do you do when somebody is here that got here illegally? You know what you need to do? You cannot legislate anything. Maybe they will, whoever's in. But we can do this. We can pray, Lord, send laborers across their path. Lord God, save them. Deliver. Let them find Jesus. Come on, everybody. We want God moving in every city. We want God moving in Chula Vista, in your city. So come on, stand with me. Would you do that this morning? All over the room, would you bow your head? Lord God, this morning, we're asking you that the fire of God, as we prayed earlier, would fall on our hearts, fall on our homes. Fall on our church. And Father, we pray the fire of God would fall on our city. Lord God, we pray that there would be a river of God, the water of God flowing from our church, the altar of our church, the altar of our hearts in this church, under the threshold door. It wouldn't stay here. A move and a flow of your spirit wouldn't stay here, but it would move into our city. It would go into the valleys, O Lord God. And Father, your water would affect the Dead Sea, the deadness of people's hearts and lives. Everywhere the water went, the life of God was. There was a multitude of fish, Ezekiel prophesied. Life came into fish. Fish in the scriptures, Father, we know, speak of lost humanity. Multitudes lying in a valley of decision. They need God. They need God. Father, I pray for all of our lives that we wouldn't be judgmental and critical and negative toward any other people group. But Father, today, soften our heart. People need to know Jesus. So come on, right there for just 15 seconds. Come on, pray for your city. Come on, right there, wherever you live. Father, I pray for Chula Vista. Come on, I pray for La Mesa. Come on, I pray for San Ysidro. Pray, Lord God, would you move in my city? Would the rain of God, would the river of God flow into my city? Would you change things that have been there for a long time? Would you root out the darkness, Lord God? Would you save people, Father God, that are influencers in my city? That can change hearts, Lord God, quickly. Lord God, I pray for the peace of God in my city. I pray, oh God, the activity of the Holy Spirit in my city. Hearts are turning. Father, would you move in my schools in the city, oh God, that I live in? The junior high schools, the elementary schools, the high schools, the colleges, oh God. Father, would you turn hearts today? Let a flow happen today. In our city. Help, would you help me, Father, see my city different? Help us see the city, oh God, and not be like Jonah. That, Lord God, you love, you care about, you're concerned for the cities. They don't know you. If they die and don't know you, they're going to hell, Father. We say that's unacceptable. So we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my city. Oh, Lord, Come on, all over the room, would you just lift a hand to the Lord? Would you do that? Father, we're lifting our hands. And we're just saying, Lord, we don't know the answers. Father, we don't know how. But Lord God, we believe you. We trust you. I trust in God that we're hungry for you. We're desirous of you in our own life, in our homes, in our church, in our city. So let a flow happen. Come on, pray that. Let a flow happen. Let a flow happen. Let the flow happen. Let it happen. Let it reach everywhere, every heart, every home. Mayors and council members affected, business leaders and entrepreneurs and influential leaders in these cities, oh God, that don't know you. Their hearts are turned, Lord God, we pray. Let a flow happen of your life, of your spirit. Come on, all over the room, your heads bowed, your eyes closed, your hands down. Come on, let me ask you a pointed question. Do you know Jesus? Are you away from Jesus this morning? Have you surrendered your heart to the Lordship of Jesus? All over the room. If you haven't today, listen to me. This is the prayer you're going to pray. We're going to pray out loud. We're going to ask God to be the Lord of our life. We need you in our life. We want you in our life. We want your fire working in our hearts and our homes. In my life, Lord God, that's what you're saying. I've been away. I've been away too long. Maybe I've known you before, but I'm not with you right now. Like I know I need to be. I can repent. Listen, we'll change our mind. We'll change our direction. God's going to save you right now. It requires a heart attitude. It requires a prayer where you believe and you speak and you ask. He comes where he's wanted. If you say, I want you, he's coming. So all over the room, when I count to three, you want to be included in that prayer? Come on, just lift up your hand. Come on. One, two, three. All over the room, lift up your hand. Say, pray for me. Joseph, thank you. Come on. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Back in the back, I want you. I want you. I want you. Awesome. See you guys in the back. I see you. I want you again. All over the room.